Good morning. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we come before you and we give you thanks for another day. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here right now. Oh, Lord, may we experience a movement of your Spirit today. Bless us, Lord, as we seek to bless you in worship, thanking you and praising you and hearing from your word. Open our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. We remind you about the prayer cards. They're right in front of you in the pews. Take them out, chairs, fill them out, pass them toward the middle, and then Bonnie will get some of the kids to come and gather those up for you. Good morning. Last week, my daughter was here and preached, and I actually was paying attention. Yeah, and she got applause. I remember that. The four points that she had, what we say, what we put out, what we take in, or what we put in, and what we do. And the one that stuck with me was she said, remember one. So what we put in. And it lined up with this week's sermon as well. So I thought, what we put in, if you think about what we put in us, is where we're going to go today. So that's like a preemptive strike there. I'm going to tell you that I have the longest time I've had on the clock for a long time now. We've got at least 40 minutes for me to preach. And I will tell you that I called and told Evan, this is a pretty long sermon. It's a little bit longer than usual, so that's another. Take notes this morning because we're going to be going into the Word, okay? I want to start out by reading James 1:5, and you'll find in your worship folders that there is a place for notes and there's a place to fill in the blanks. We'll get to those. Hopefully I'll remember the second set. 1:5 of James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, we are to ask. Right? Just so we know where we're going today. We were brought forth by the word of truth. Truth. And that's what 1:18 tells us. To be a kind of first fruits among all his creatures. Right? 1:18. First fruits belong to the Lord. We just got done taking up the tithes and offerings. That's the first fruits we're to give back to God. We're giving ourselves back to God as first fruits. We belong to the Lord. As such, we are to be holy in our conduct, set apart for his use in this world, sanctified unto the Lord, right? Holy. Now, we are in the world, but we're not to be of it. And you won't find those words exactly in John 17, but if you read John 17, Jesus does a really good job of telling us we're to be in the world, but not of it. Right? So we're to be in the world. We're holy. We are holy witnesses of his love and mercy and justice. I've been forgiven. Because Jesus had to die on the cross, right? All of us. That's God's justice against my sin and yours. Having been justified, and it's not just as if I'd never sinned, right? Having been justified by the life given and the blood shed, so that we could be messengers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ. 2 Thessalonians Chapter 2, like I said, we're going to be all over the Bible today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13 say a lot about the truth. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and be saved. We are brought forth by the word of truth, remember? We're to speak the truth in love. But they refuse to have the love of the truth. They are false to the truth, as some of your translations may say. Verse 11, therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Truth. The word of truth. We're to live by that. We have access to the very truth of God. All of us as Christians, it's at our fingertips, it's on our phones, we can get it anyway. We don't even have to read it, we can listen to it. If you have the Bible app, there's a bunch of them, but the Bible app from Life Church is very good, and I highly recommend that. YouVersion. That will read the Bible to you. You can turn it on in your car while you're driving and listen to the very word that God has for you. And as we discovered 2 weeks ago, what we place in our minds and take to heart comes out where? Our mouths. Right. 2 weeks ago. I wonder, that's a long time for some of us. I can't remember what I did yesterday. So I'm proud of you all. Thank you for remembering that. Remember, a fig tree cannot bear olives. It cannot. If the source is pure, then the outpour is pure. So we have to deal with the source, what we're placing in our hearts, what we put in. Right? That's what Bree said to remember that. From where are you gaining knowledge? Think about that. From where are you gaining knowledge? What are you placing in your mind? Is it from TV, social media, human philosophy? Or is it godly, biblical, from above, as we're about to find out about? Romans 12 tells us to renew our minds as Christians because we have bad habits. We have bad philosophy. We have bad theology. Maybe we have no theology at all. We need to renew our minds. What we say is evidence of what is in our hearts. So what are you placing there? Where is it coming from? The Holy Spirit, speaking through James, tells us that there are two kinds of wisdom, each of which flows from one kind of a heart or another. Are we seeking godly wisdom or earthly or worldly, depending on your translations? Most of them say earthly. Earthly wisdom. Is that where we're getting our knowledge, our wisdom? Look, let's look at James chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. I'm used to the NIV. There was a long time ago in a land far, far away, I memorized James out of the NIV. So I have a habit of getting, so bear with me on that. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Do not be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil and vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Completeness, wholeness, peace, biblical peace. Are you wise and understanding? That's how this starts out, right? What does your conduct, your actions, the fruit you are bearing, the wisdom you have, a witness to? Earthly, worldly wisdom is false to the truth. It denies the truth. The wisdom of the world causes people to perish, for the truth of the message of the cross is foolishness to those of the world. 1 Corinthians, like I said, I have them all marked, but I don't know if I can get to them quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. I'm just going to read them. For the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and a folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. For not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We can't boast in anything we did. We can't boast in human wisdom. Earthly wisdom says, follow your heart. Godly wisdom tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. For out of the unrepentant heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, arrogance, and foolishness. Earthly wisdom says, you be you, and I'll be me. If it feels good, do it. Be true to yourself. All earthly wisdom. It tells us that we know the motivations of others. When God tells us that he searches the heart and he alone knows the hearts of men. Earthly wisdom tells us to climb the ladder of success, stepping on whomever we need to get us to the top. But that is selfish ambition and should never be seen in the church. And speaking as a pastor, there are a lot of us pastors that go from one church to the next church to the next church, looking to step up the ladder, looking for something bigger and better. And God has called us to where he's called us to be, what we're called to be in that congregation of God's church. Shame on them. Any pastor worth their salt should do what they're called to do where they're called to do it. Earthly wisdom appeals to the senses, to our emotions, to our passions and desires. And our enemy and his minions have been trying to get us to seek and follow the passions and desires of the flesh earthly wisdom from the very beginning. Very beginning. Chapter 3 of Genesis, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now, think about this for a minute. I'm going to get in the way of myself here later. In order to get to the middle of the garden, they had to pass, let's put it in our terms, peaches and gala apples and yellow delicious and watermelons and cantaloupes and honeydew, all the fruits of the earth, not just the trees, to get to the center of the garden. They were so focused on that in their temptation that they ignored what they had. How often do we do that? Is that wisdom? No. Verse 5 again. But back verse 4. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." And that's the lie that's told. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of it and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. We can't blame this all on Eve. Adam could have stopped her at any time, even though we probably hear, "Honey, eat this." None of us have ever had. She saw that it was good to make one wise. Wow. Tempted by Satan to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they disobeyed God by reaching for wisdom that was not yet theirs. They believed that if they obtained this wisdom, that they would be like God. Lie, right? And in disobeying God, the wisdom they sought brought sin into the world. There are things that are unspiritual, demonic, and earthly. Things that are the enemy of our souls wants us to embrace and live by. And those things produce jealousy, selfishness, pride, and every vile practice, to quote right from James. All are a detriment to our relationship with God and His church, with one another. They produce pride and selfishness, and that does not help anything, and God does not want us to be that way. Most of us do have a desire to be wise. We like to understand how things work, to learn and grow, that we might make good decisions. We seek and search out wisdom and knowledge of the things of this world. I asked Brock earlier if he could get the ducks in the puddle that Bree used, and I asked her permission to use it. Again, the ducks are in the puddle, and the Mississippi's right there. Streams of living water, right? Flowing water, living water. And they're in a puddle that's polluted and nasty looking. I mean, which would you rather drink out of? I mean, the Mississippi's not clean. We all know that. But if it was not as polluted as it is, if it was as pure as it used to be, it would be much safer to get to the living water. When we settle for human wisdom that is a puddle compared to what God has for us. And I saw that and I said, I'm stealing that. I no qualms about it. I called this morning and asked. She said, sure. She didn't know what I was using it for. But the word of God right here in James, right, tells us that the wisdom we need to follow to acquire is from above. It's not earthly. It is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. But James is not the only place in the Bible that tells us to seek wisdom. In fact, it's one of the smaller places that does. Proverbs is all about obtaining wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, which I have marked. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like as if for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. What did it say to do when I first started out? If we want wisdom, we're to do what? Ask God. Right? 9:10. 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Knowledge and wisdom are often the two sides of the same coin, knowledge and wisdom. Though you can have knowledge without having wisdom, it is seldom that wisdom is unaccompanied by knowledge and understanding. Very seldom do we see wisdom by itself, right? Knowledge and understanding all are right there together. Now, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. And understanding is knowing why. Okay, so I thought that was very good to sum it all up. Proverbs 3:13 tells us, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. And where do we get this from? We just got done reading about it. From the Lord. It's ours for asking. Think about that. If wisdom was money, we'd be clamoring at the door to get it. And we'd all understand why. But we are to seek wisdom, the wisdom that God wants to give each of us through his word. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, at the Sermon on the Mount, that a wise person is a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Only he doesn't say it in those words. He puts it like this, if I can find Matthew. Matthew 7, 21. I'll start at 21 because I really like this, because this is one of those verses that said, hey, Kenny, are you sure you're where you're supposed to be? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, the last day, judgment day, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them is like will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is a hearer only, right? Will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, when I moved here and started digging in the soil, I found that it was all sand. Am I wrong? And I'm looking at these houses and going, they're all built on the sand. Sand shifts, is easily moved. Don't like that. But we build on what we have. But the foundation we're looking for is solid rock. Earthly wisdom can promise earthly, or it can promise us earthly happiness, right? And we're right in the Constitution, whichever it is, to seek happiness, right? We're told that we should be seeking happiness. It can promise us joy and pleasure and prosperity, but all those things can be quickly taken away from us. If earthly wisdom is what you have based your life on, you will probably experience disaster, either at the very end, on Judgment Day, on that last day, or somewhere in between, because of some earthly problem. If earthly wisdom is what you have based your life on, you will experience disaster. I can't say that enough. You will be of the world, earthly. But those who build their lives on Jesus' wisdom, not on shifting sands, who have a Christian worldview, who follow his teachings, who operate according to a Christian worldview, who operate according to a Christian worldview, which means that we're walking in obedience to his word. We have the understanding that God is with us, that he is for us. If we do that, we have that godly wisdom that is found in Jesus Christ, that godly wisdom that is found in obedience to the truth, God's word, will grow in our wisdom, will grow in our understanding, will be growing in knowledge, and it doesn't stop. It should never stop. If you've arrived, God bless you. My pastor told me when he'd been in ministry for 25 years that he had further to go than what he'd already come. I have way further to go than what I've already come. We all should be looking at life as I need to gain wisdom and understanding. And the only way I can do that is through the word and through prayer. As we read through, or as we read through James, we can see that he is well acquainted with the wisdom of the Sermon on the Mount and the Old Testament, both of which he uses to point out the truth of God's word. As we walk with God, seeking his will and not our own, we gain wisdom. In other words, what we place in our minds, knowledge, and put into practice, obedience, works in our lives to give us godly wisdom and understanding. Perfect sense, right? Then we will be in the world, but not of it, which is where we started. John 17. Godly, biblical, and spiritual wisdom produces humility, peace, mercy. It is but pure and gentle, impartial, open to reason, and it results in a harvest of righteousness by those who sow it in peace. Wisdom isn't to be hoarded. It's to be sown into the lives of others. Godly wisdom is seen in your understanding and good conduct. That's how this started out. But the wisdom of the world is folly with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, in earthly wisdom. That's 1 Corinthians 3:19 through 21. As God's beloved children, which each of us are as Christians, we've been adopted into the family, as those of the faith, we are to seek His wisdom. His, not the world's. And God's wisdom is available to all who come to Him. I'll tell you what, that brightens my whole day. The foolish things of the world, you know, God used a donkey to speak to Balaam. He's still doing that today. That's all I'm going to say. God has given us His word, the word of truth, and the spirit of truth, so that we can have access to the wisdom of God through prayer and His word. James chapter 1, where'd it go? Verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Are we seeking wisdom on an everyday basis? Are we seeking it from God, or are we turning to the world? Are we listening to what the world has to say? Because we see it in our kids. Follow your heart. Go where you want. Do what you want. Be what you want. And God's word is the opposite. I have a plan for you. I'm praying to give you a future and a hope. Don't follow your heart. It's deceitful above all things. If you come to me, I'll take away that stone, that heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel tells us that. We ask God through prayer. Ask, and it will be given to you, right? We do it in faith. And we seek answers to our prayers in His word, within the church, amongst ourselves, right? And out of our experience. Are you hungry for wisdom? Are you hungry for wisdom? Then I'll tell you the quickest way to get it. Come and pray. Come and pray. Because God wants to give you wisdom and discernment. And we ask for it, and then we don't look for it. God help us. Would you stand as the praise team comes? To the only wise King, the only wise King, who wants to give you His wisdom. That is an awesome thing to think about. Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom, for your mercy, for your grace, for your love of us, Lord, that knows no end. Help us, Lord, to gain wisdom, as individuals and as a congregation of your church. Give us the wisdom, Lord, that we need to walk with you, to follow after you, to be yours in everything that we say and do. And help us, Lord, to share that wisdom with those around us. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, I ask that you, oh Lord, I want to give you thanks for the time of fellowship. I thank you, Lord, for the food that we are about to partake in. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of brothers and sisters. And I just praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.